Paul, what went into the decision to bring the two young guys up at this time of the year, and what do you plan for those guys going into these final three games?
Well, road trip, both have had good years, and we'll take a look at putting them in. I don't have them going into the St. Louis game, and then we'll go from there.
When you bring a couple of young guys in there, what do you expect to see from them, you know, this week, and then how big could this be for them going into the summer?
You'd like to see Roslovic's a little bit different because we hadn't seen him in a National Hockey League game. Getting him in one would be interesting for that. The Kyle had played well, so we felt that it took a bit, but when he went down the Moose, he started to make improvements in the areas of the game that are part of the growth that he's going to need to play here regular. So, and then one game, you don't want to attach a whole lot of permanence to one game, right? If he's minus three, it doesn't mean his career is coming to an end. And if he scores three, he's getting a 10-year deal. So a bit of a payoff for a year's work that was solid.
I guess that was – sorry, Mike. Go ahead.
For both of them, what are the improvements from what you've heard and what you've observed from both of them?
Jack at center ice, but just all parts of your game. There's a major difference from college and potentially junior to go play pro hockey. And most of it you find with good skaters is not skating all the time, stop and start, and being a little bit more patient. Just the reads, the game gets faster. Center, you're half a defenseman, half a forward, so there's a lot more to process. Kyle, there's lots of good raw pieces with his game, real good speed, great release. He can make plays. But understanding of being involved in the play all the time, big difference here. You know, there'd be only a handful of perimeter guys. There are fewer perimeter players left anymore. Everybody's involved in the play all the time. That's an adjustment that the young players need to make.
So would it be fair to say that physically he didn't sort of measure up early on?
Physically and measure up, this guy's a young guy. You know, he had a good year. The area of engagement, it's a different game here, so he'll learn that.
They're both offensive guys. You guys have no trouble scoring. You've had some trouble preventing goals. So how do you kind of work them in? How do you turn them loose, or do you try to have them play really responsibly?
Well, we need both, right? We need that out of the high-end skill that we have here that's young. They're learning, and it takes a while to learn to do both. And that's the question. You play them with together, be a little more reluctant to do that in their first game, like to have two guys on the wings or a center and a winger that can talk them through the game. Get on the road, you probably run a checking line less, so you could make some movements in Adam Lowry's line maybe to do that. But usually that first game, you just let them play and talk to them about it after.
Surprised to hear you maybe don't want to play them together because they've had some chemistry. And you
right, and that's a possibility. So that you know, you get into the game, see how the other team's playing, see where their nerves are at, that they have some. Most importantly is that somebody talks to them, right? And if you got two nervous guys that are too nervous to talk to each other about there, that, I don't know if that works a whole lot, who you get it to play them against. Like to have Lowry's the veteran, I guess. We'd like to have somebody there to talk them through the game.
Teams had a really good record the last 2 years after getting eliminated. Can you put a finger at all on why you've been able to play so well in that?
We've handled those days, right? They're not fun. We've asked them to come to work, and we've made sure as coaches that we kept working. The prep was the same. You get one of two kinds of teams. Teams that are in our situation. There's a bunch of teams that behind us have been dealing with this for a while. I think they get good at it after a while. And then you hit some teams that are feeling pressure. Different kind, probably in Anaheim. They're trying to grab that first spot, so you expect their best. So it's a real game. Those are games that are easier to get up. And Ottawa now is trying to fight to hang on, so they're dealing with a different set of circumstances. But prior to us being eliminated, we were playing pretty well. You know, we're 12-6-3, I think, in our last 21 games. The Tampa game was, for me, a low point in our approach, in our game. We've played pretty darn well since then.
I know a lot can change, so maybe there's no point in asking this question, but your top six is about as solid as you could ever hope for it to be. So,
offensively?
Yeah. So when you've got guys like Connor and Roslovic coming up, where can you see them fitting in where that's where you would kind of expect them to be headed?
Right, so that all goes to the structure of your bottom six as you move forward. Who's playing center ice has a lot to do with that, who the wingers are. I mean, we'd maybe take Adam Lowry out of that bottom six group at 15 goals in his third year for a defensive-minded player. We're pretty pleased with where he's at. How those pieces fit matters as much as who the individual is, and that's the questions that, in part, why these games are so important for players like Andrew Kopp and Joel Armia and Nick Batan and Dano, and now these two guys. How they fit together is an important piece. So when you're lining up at training camp, and you come through that, you can play a young player with another young player, you're going to get a completely different look than if you play that guy with two veteran guys. Anybody that we've put with Scheife and Wheeler plays pretty darn well. And those are the things that players will identify themselves, why these games are important and why this year is important for Andrew Kopp. And he's shown he can play the wing and play maybe as effectively or more. You've got Matthias now still on injury coming back in. And then there's going to be a battle in that center ice position with Nick Batan, whether Andrew Kopp is there or if there's an addition to the summer to those rosters. So if your team is divided, as a lot are, into kind of offensive and defensive minded guys, then you're a good offensive player. You have to beat out a pretty good offensive player. So there's fewer minutes easily taken. So we put an 18-year-old in and a 20-year-old in, and got a fairly young center in Mark, and we've gone through that stretch where they are good offensive players, and we derive that offense in an interesting way. We're pretty darn good in the offensive zone. Our rush chances we can make that happen when there's a mistake made where we get an odd man rush. We're a pretty dynamic team. We've had a tendency to try to generate that offense off the rush, even when it wasn't there. We've been better at that in our last 20 games. We're not trying to force things quite as much. Younger players force things more. So, but it's a really good point as to where we go forward with these young players. How they fit, how the pieces fit, is probably the next phase. First, you acquire as many good, talented young players as you possibly can. You make a decision, I guess, as a coach as to who gets the big minutes, and then how those other pieces fit becomes their biggest challenge at times getting into the lineup.
There's been a lot of expectation on Line A for scoring this season, and it hasn't happened as much in the last few weeks. I mean, how do you explain that? Is it physical, mental, the grind?
Well, there's always theories when you get a guy, and take his age out of it, a 34-goal scorer who's coming down the pipe and still getting the shots, a lot of the shots that you liked, and they're not going in. The obvious one at his age would be fatigue in terms of the schedule that he's run, the schedule that we've run. But he's still getting the looks that he would be getting 2 or 3 weeks ago, a month ago. So this is a learning phase for him. He's always going to have this stretch in his season. Now and when he's 28 and maybe even 38, a stretch of hockey where he doesn't score quite as much. And as long as he's still getting those looks, he's been down the pipe more, down the middle of the ice more with those chances, and probably more frustrated with those than anyone's in the past. I'm not worried about where the offense is going with him.
What have you liked the most about his progress this season?
His willingness and interest in the other parts of the game. There was a major adjustment for Patrick Laine, and we're real, you know, he scored a lot early, so it took a lot of pressure off him to do the other parts of his game. But you watch his routes now that he runs a little faster, a little more clearly defined. He does one job instead of three. He's learned that the ice is smaller, so your reactions have to be faster. And he's made huge improvements in that.
Just the last thing about Tyler. Is he traveling, and is he any closer to playing?
Tyler's traveling. You know, he got through practice today. There were a few drills that he was a little bit more careful with. I don't have a better answer for you. Again, we'd like him to play, but he's not going in unless he's sure he can push off on and stride hard and maintain that.